Welcome to Inspiring Wholeness, presented by Advent Health, in partnership with the Orlando Business Journal, featuring people who make Central Florida a better place to work, live, and play. In this episode, we'll discuss artificial intelligence, or AI, in healthcare. Joining us, Dr. Victor Herrera, Senior Vice President and Chief Clinical Officer for the Central Florida Division at Advent Health, and Rob Purinton, Vice President of Clinical Analytics and Performance Improvement at Advent Health. Well, thanks to both of you for joining us. And Rob, I want to start with you. What specific AI technologies and applications have been implemented at Advent Health, and how have they impacted patient care?
There's a lot of different kinds of AI. So just to walk through really quickly, you have things like predictive analytics, help predict maybe when a patient is deteriorating or when a very acute clinical situation is about to occur. You also have types of AI like generative AI, what we're used to seeing now with ChatGPT or Claude, that can do things like help to complete notes and save back some of that time. I think as we've seen, the more sophisticated electronic medical records, our clinicians can end up spending quite a lot of time at documentation, at managing the information that goes in the medical record. There are some AI applications that can save quite a lot of that technical time or that time at a keyboard and get clinicians back at the bedside or otherwise caring for or assessing or delivering interventions to patients, which is where their time is best spent. There are hundreds, if not more, different applications for AI in healthcare, and we're really just starting to scratch the surface of that. And part of that is because healthcare is a complex and really, you know, quite varied system. So the processes at Advent Health may look different than the workflow and processes at another health system, even within the state of Florida. And that variation between health systems means if you're a clinician, you go to work at a new health system, you have to learn quite a bit of that all over. So those AI applications, they have to be the right kind of fit for the right kind of workflow pinch point in the situation that you're working in. And then they can really help save lives or save time, or in many cases, both.
Dr. Herrera, what are your thoughts here?
Through artificial intelligence, we have become better at predicting which patients are going to have clinical deterioration, and then finding that when it's happening. Also for things that are common, like patients having strokes. Now through artificial intelligence, we have the opportunity to have early warning systems that allows for a team to start responding to a patient having a stroke much sooner than we were able to do it before, just because now we're using some of these technologies.
What are the key considerations when it comes to educating and training healthcare professionals to effectively work with AI technologies in their daily practices?
I think it's important to keep a balance between encouraging innovation. We want people to feel comfortable trying new technologies, which change can be difficult, but we want to instill that spirit of trying new things, and as new tools become available, have people think about different ways of using them. And we need to balance that with the recognition that all of that has to be done in a way that is safe for patients, that we maintain high quality standards, and that there are those mechanisms to make sure that we are doing things in a way that is responsible as well. So I will say the balance between encouraging innovation, but also being responsible with the new things that we are doing is an important thing to do.
And the next question, something I know everybody's concerned about. What steps have you taken to ensure that AI complements and enhances the work of healthcare professionals without replacing the human touch in patient care?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the key principles that we're really looking at is, how does AI help make our clinicians work smarter, not harder? How does it augment them? Dr. Harris has spoken about and posted about the idea of augmented intelligence, not just artificial intelligence. So what that involves is really when we're looking at a particular AI application, we look not just at the prediction or the AI result itself, but the workflow. So what is that workflow actually going to manifest day to day for the nurses and doctors and techs and others that have to interact with that process? So how is it going to be a smoother experience for them, making sure that it's not just going to be one more application for them to keep up with and one more set of reminders and alerts that are going to fill up their inbox, that instead it's really something that takes problems and things off of their back and makes it easier for them to manage care and their work throughout the day. So it's really an attention to that clinician and frontline workflow when we're evaluating AI tools, and not just falling into the trap of looking at the statistical results of the AI model itself.
Dr. Herrera, could you maybe share some examples of how AI has helped in early disease detection or personalized treatment plans for AdventHealth patients?
I have a patient story that I like to share. She was a kindergarten teacher. She had a stroke, but she had an excellent outcome where she didn't have any residual deficit. And then she was able to go back to do what she loves to do, which is to teach her students. And not only all the processes that we had around a stroke that obviously make a difference as well, but also technology and artificial intelligence play a role in making a difference for this patient. And when we think about our promise in our system to make patients whole and feel whole and the concept of wholeness, I want to bring attention how AI, yes, is a new technology, but it's something that at the end of the day is all about wholeness, it's all about patients, and it's about improving lives. And I like to talk about this story because that's exactly what we achieve for this patient, in part because we use AI for her care.
Well, great to hear she made a full recovery and how AI made a difference. Rob, how do you ensure patient data privacy and maintain ethical standards when utilizing AI technologies in a healthcare setting?
First, we have an industry-leading data security team here. So we have multiple levels of technical review that an application, as well as the vendor who delivers the application, have to go through before we'll even put ink on a contract to do business with them and send patient data to them. That includes knowing specifically where that data goes. Where is that data when it's at rest? So not just when it's moving between, say, our medical record or between AdventHealth and that vendor's application, maybe wherever their data center is. That kind of review and making sure we understand all the different geographic points that that data will touch before it's processed, and then how it's treated once that AI recommendation occurs. Is it disposed of immediately, and is all of it purged or erased and so on? So first, there is a really in-depth technical review that's part of that pre-approval before we even consider using an application. There are also levels of escalation. So for example, they're like emergency stop buttons that when we find out that, say, there's been a compromise by an external vendor or a data center used by an external vendor, we have ways to shut off that data and make sure that the data isn't being pushed out of the system or exfiltrated in a way that's irresponsible. Beyond that, we also have some very specific workflow policies and practices in place, like preventing the use of different publicly available generative AI tools so that folks aren't copying and pasting, say, patient data into some of those AI tools. And even within the EMR, some prohibitions on how copying and pasting works so that parts of documentation aren't just being reused. So they're a full complement of policies, of governance processes like security reviews that are in place that wrap around not just AI work, but all IT application work at AdventHealth. And that really helps us keep our patients safe and keep their information safe.
Dr. Herrera?
I think this goes back to what I mentioned earlier of we want to encourage innovation. We want to move fast. We want to accelerate innovation, but we need to make sure that we do things in a way that is safe for patients. And obviously, privacy and some of the other parameters that we need to be sensitive to are very important. So every time that we work in any of these projects or we are implementing a new technology, it is also a top priority for us that we meet those expectations around things like privacy.
And I guess the follow-up to that is, what are the primary challenges or barriers you've encountered in adopting AI in healthcare, and how have you addressed or overcome them?
The primary challenge is trust. It is. We live in an increasingly technical world with different applications of AI all around us, from social media to how we consume news and other information, to even how we shop and decide what to buy online. And not all of those things have really worked out to generate more trust. And in some cases, the recommendations that may pop up in between plays, you know, watching football, they may feel a little creepy, like someone's listening into our home. We have a crisis of trust in technology. And so that's part of the challenge, is really helping both our patients and our caregivers understand how the technology works, what its advantages and its limitations really are, and in what situations should they lean on it, maybe even lean on it pretty hard, in order to improve outcomes, like in the example Dr. Herrera mentioned around the kindergarten teacher and the stroke. What are the ways in which they should approach it with just a healthy amount of caution, to be aware of things like we've heard about hallucinations with ChatGPT? So teaching our teams the nuances of interacting with different types of AI like that and how to interact with it responsibly is a key part to knowing exactly what to trust and when and how much. And that's how we'll be able to really do this kind of innovative work faster. And there was a Pew Research study published in March of this year, found 61% of patients would be concerned if AI were used as part of the medical decision-making in their care. It's not just the result of patients deciding on their own to be skeptical of AI in healthcare. It's also their friendly family care physician who may be skeptical themselves and telling those patients, hey, yeah, I know you could go maybe try to use a search engine and diagnose yourself online, but why don't you just come back and I'll do all the diagnosis and I'll take care of everything for you. Don't trust those AI tools. And that's a trust equation we have to get on both sides of, both on the caregiver side as well as on the patient side.
What's your take, Dr. Herrera?
One thing that I'll add as a challenge is that, I mean, we've been using AI in healthcare for a long time, but clearly there's been an acceleration in the last year and a half or two. And I think that has created for many organizations a gap in terms of the knowledge and the expertise that is necessary to keep up with the way the technology is advancing. So I think a challenge for any healthcare system is how do they make sure that their teams, their workforce, have the knowledge that is necessary around AI that is appropriate for what is going to be their involvement with the AI, that can go from knowledge that is appropriate for our front lines taking care of patients around AI, but also how do you have experts in your organization that then understand that at a different level when they work into implementing some of these tools. So I think that concept of how do you educate your company on AI is an important one. And through different activities that we have planned and initiative across Advent Health, we have been trying to do exactly that, to bring the right knowledge for the members of our team as it relates to these new technologies.
And Rob, Advent Health has a system-wide AI advisory board. Could you explain to us the principles that board uses to vet the AI tools that are being used?
Sure. So I'll tell you first, we really started the AI advisory board, I think, out of a sense of curiosity. So it was really to bring awareness and bring some education to a group of influential clinical leaders within Advent Health, help them and us better understand what to expect from AI, how do different tools work, what are the limitations and the risks involved in them. And so we brought in speakers, not just from within healthcare or healthcare IT, but also, for example, from the Orlando Magic. So we had a general manager there who talked to us about the last 20 years of transformation in the NBA using data analytics and machine learning to really transform the sport into one that is extremely data-driven today. Those kinds of lessons have really led us to better understand what should some of the governing constraints be around AI and help us to evaluate tools more critically. We've had some, I would say, good debates within the advisory board, including like explainability. So how important is it that every output or decision from an AI tool can be traced back and explained Or is it that those things are probabilistic and we have to know that, that sometimes they're going to be wrong, sometimes they're going to be very, very right, and there's going to be lots of decisions in the middle there. It did not start out as a governance group, but it certainly helped us to have a more critical evaluation of some different AI applications that we're thinking about, like the use of AI for generating notes based on ambient listening to patient and physician conversations. And so those kinds of critical evaluation questions are things like, does it align with our mission? Does it help promote outcomes? Is it safe? Does it protect patient privacy?
And from what I understand, this work surrounding artificial intelligence relies on both local tech expertise and partnerships. Could you walk us through how that unfolds?
Yeah, happy to. So, for example, on our AI advisory board, we have, of course, lots of local clinical leaders, many of whom interact with local organizations at their particular hospitals. They may have tech talent that work at their hospital. They may have clinical talent that are working on different AI projects at their hospital. We also have on the AI advisory board some big tech membership. So we have Microsoft is an active participant on that AI advisory board. They contribute some big thinkers and big idea folks to a conversation that might otherwise just stay very focused locally on the problems here in Central Florida. I would also add that we have a number of ways that we're really engaged with different academic settings in Central Florida, not the least of which is through AdventHealth University, one of the key ways that we're growing talent, but also through all the local colleges. So everything from UCF, one of the country's largest schools producing technical talent, to University of Florida, USF, and then even more technical schools like Full Sail University that are more digital arts focused, or Florida Polytechnic. Those are all ways that we let local talent and particularly through the academic channels interact with creating solutions for the health system.
I know AdventHealth also partners with local schools like the University of Central Florida for this work. Could you talk about that?
I would say one of the most tangible ways is through senior design projects. So the UCF College of Engineering, when you're a matriculating senior, you need to do what's called a senior design project. You go to a local business. Usually it's a Disney, NBC Universal, Siemens, Lockheed, AdventHealth, and you'll actually work to solve a particular problem. And that may include some technical solutions. It may include workflow, may include some process improvement or process redesign. And so that gives us a real lens into, first, how are some of those technical academic curriculum playing out? And they also give us a fresh set of eyes. So even though seniors, are relatively kids, they do have a very fresh perspective and sometimes coming at problems that have felt intractable to us in healthcare with just a new set of eyes and a new set of tools to approach and solve those with.
This is all so new, but I'm curious how you measure the success and effectiveness of AI implementations in healthcare and what metrics or indicators are used to assess the impact.
I think that's a very important question because that gets to what are the measures of success to say that AI is making a difference. And I think that I will divide it between our traditional things that we track and metrics. So I used the example of a stroke earlier, and we measure something like the time that it takes from a patient to being diagnosed with a stroke to getting, if indicated, an appropriate treatment that can make the difference between having a permanent deficit or going back to living a normal life. So that is a metric that we track time. And so you can see how if we now incorporate an AI technology that help us reduce that time, that could be a measure of success that we were already tracking and then AI help us get there. Now, I think that AI itself can be things associated with it. When we think about reducing the burden associated with repetitive and tedious tasks that sometimes our teams experience when taking care of patients, things like documentation or other tasks that they need to complete, and then AI being able to reduce that burden and getting a measure of satisfaction, burnout, and how the implementing AI can affect those things, then could be a way to measure the impact of AI. I think that we are still evolving as a field, healthcare and AI, including on that definition of success and what are the things that we need to measure. So I don't think that there is consensus yet around what is the answer to that question, but I agree that it's very important to come up with a framework that defines, are you being successful or not with the AIs that you are using?
Rob, what are your thoughts here?
We have to evaluate AI tools just as critically as we would anything else. So the same measures of success that we would judge a process improvement intervention or, you know, a new drug or a new therapy, we have to evaluate AI using very similar approaches. And if it doesn't result in a better value equation, meaning either better outcomes or a lower cost, then, you know, we really need to think about whether that's the right solution. So just because it's more advanced technology doesn't mean it's a good answer. And that's part of our maybe keeping it simple as a principle. And simplicity has a lot of benefit. That has a good risk profile for an organization like Advent Health. If you can solve a problem using something much less sophisticated, a lower technical investment, then all things being equal, that's a better solution.
One thing I want to add, because I really like what you said about thinking about technology, AI, as the same way that we think about medications and holding it to the same standards to measure performance, then the question of harm becomes a very important one too. So similar to medications where we are testing them, we want to not only make sure that they work, but also that they don't have a side effect or cause unintended harm in a patient. With AI, that's also an important question to ask. AI is trained in data that sometimes we know can have bias, and we know that bias is something that can create healthcare disparities. So a very important area in AI research is how do we make sure, I think in particular, as it comes to healthcare, how do we make sure that when we use algorithms, there is no some underlying bias in the algorithm. Then when we implement it, we are translating that bias to the care that we provide for patients. So I think that question also of making sure we're not doing harm is a very important one.
Yeah, I completely agree. Dr. Hare and I have had the opportunity in the last couple of weeks to talk to an organization or two that are working on standards for developing AI. And it's interesting because like your pharmacy example, the development of new drugs, highly regulated process. And there are a lot of rules about how you do that safely and make sure that what you get out on the other end is something that can be evaluated by the FDA, that can be judged as safe and effective for different specific purposes. And today, there are not those same kinds of rules around developing AI applications. In fact, there are almost no rules about how you get to a functional piece of technology that you might use in healthcare. There are some rules, you know, when it's going to be used as a medical device or for medical decision making, but how you got there, how you developed it, there are not a lot of rules around that today. So there are some organizations that are bringing health systems and technology leaders together to think about how that process works and how you manage that type of technology development in a responsible way so that we can be sure that what, you know, lands in front of our caregivers, that it really is a safe, effective, additive tool to their workflow and not something that just introduces more risk and uncertainty or even bias.
Well, it's an exciting time, and thanks to both of you for your insight on the benefits of AI in healthcare. And as always, we close by asking, what inspires you to feel whole? Dr. Herrera?
You know, I think that when we have the privilege to create wholeness for others, like we do in healthcare, when we think about our patients and everything that we do to make them feel whole, be whole, that's something that to me at a personal level is rewarding and is something that makes me feel whole.
And Rob, how about you?
I actually feel whole when I am communing with others and unplugged from technology. So for me, I think it's getting a break from the electrons and getting, you know, to really share in and fellowship with family, friends, or colleagues, and really getting back to who we are as a community of people.
Well, a fascinating conversation. We appreciate both of you joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Our series will take a break to celebrate the Christmas holiday. We'll return with our next episode on January 11th. Enjoy the holidays, and thanks for downloading Inspiring Wholeness. AdventHealth has provided whole person care for 115 years. Today, our services, including cancer, cardiac, neurosurgery, orthopedics, and a dedicated women's and children's hospital, are rated among the nation's best. Learn more at feelhealthyfeelwhole.com. And be sure to subscribe to Inspiring Wholeness on your favorite podcast platform. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for any professional advice or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The views expressed by our guests are their own. Their participation in this podcast does not imply an endorsement by them or any entity they represent.